Before I start the message, I'm going to ask Derek if he'll come and open us up in prayer, the word this morning.
All right, I'm not really a public speaker, so. Lord, we gather today in your presence to feel love, praise, worship for you. Place your holy hands on Pastor Sean and his message. Open our hearts and our minds to receive that message today. I know it's going to be a good one. Also, open some hearts and break some chains for some people that are holding burdens and doubts, stress, and help them lay them at your feet, because we know in your name it's possible. Place your hands over our leadership and over our congregation and help heal hearts that may be stressed, torn, burdened, and help everyone heal. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Boom. Boom. I've already had church and it's been good. Acts chapter 5, after God and Peter exposed the fakes and the liars. Starting off strong, Pastor Justin. After God exposes the fakes and the liars, and I say exposed for not being authentic. Now, this is what this series is talking about. Be authentic. The Holy Spirit is real. Be authentic. Don't be hokey. Don't be emotional. Be authentic. Let God confirm things. Let God do things. You don't get the credit for it. Let God just be authentic, right? And so God stomped on some non-authentic activities. And being fake can be deadly. Being fake can be deadly. Holy Spirit, help me be authentic. So here's our point so far for the series, so far in the series. Wait until he fulfills his promise. That's easy, right? Just wait. If he said promise you something, just wait for it then. What? Okay. What do you do while you wait? Alejandro told us you pray while you wait. That's what you do. That's what the apostles did. They went to the upper room. They prayed until God showed up. And then during that time, they got their house in order. You know, some things, you're waiting for a blessing. You know, I've never met a woman in my life that was pregnant waiting for a baby that didn't have the room done 6 months before. And I thought, they're going to change it too. You can feel it, right? Yeah, you might have won it, you know. But still, you had a plan. By the time she'd get out of her way, she's a whirlwind. Once she got a plan, you know. But you prepare for it. You know the baby's coming. It doesn't catch you. Oh, my gosh, the baby showed up today. That doesn't happen. You know, you got a car seat. How long ago? They bought a new car expecting a baby. You know, yeah. So what I'm saying there, you prepare for that. Sometimes when you're waiting and you're praying, what else should you be doing? Where is your house out of order? And I go, oh, man, I need to exercise. Oh, I need 15 more minutes with Jesus. Oh, I need to take all the dumb supplements my wife gives me. Keeping me alive forever. I appreciate it. It's like a tackle box. Say, be authentic. And here's this morning's beautiful message during worship. Be open to whatever God wants to do. And some stuff he wants to do that will blow your mind and make you feel uncomfortable, like send a bird after your head. And like that dove was just persistent, was there, looking at me. It waited. You guys, it waited, wanted me to come outside. Everyone else came outside. I was like, no, I'm waiting for him. It's like, all right, bird. Man, I've been feeding you and stuff and all your friends. But we got a beef I don't know about because I don't like those pigeons. Are you related to them? I told them to get out. Coming after me, bird. I'm bigger than you, you know. Threatened by a little bird. God sent us a blessing. You got to be open to whatever God wants to do. That sounds great, but it's not easy. Because if he asks you to do something that's uncomfortable, like pray for somebody in Walmart that you want to avoid, to get a hold of an old friend, to maybe get a hold of a parent that you kind of snuffed off, and they said, call them up, tell them you love them. I don't know if I feel that way. Tell them anyways. That can't be the Holy Spirit. Right? But he does stuff. And we got to be open to say whatever. Right? Whatever God, if it's God, be open to whatever God wants to do. Okay. Next point, we're all born lame. All of us, every one of us were born lame. And I have one more in this slide here. Yes. You can only give from what you really have. You can't ask Pastor Jody for a million. She's only got 750K. She can't give a full mil. She can't do full mil, you know. You can ask Caleb for a mil. He's like, I get it. I'm like, you'll see if we're friends, you know. Maybe give you that mil. But you can't give what you don't have. And so often, like, we try to give out of what we don't have. And what I'm encouraging you with your homework is your 15 more minutes with Jesus, however that looks, for you, will allow you to give a little more than you have. Because he's going to send people in your life that need more. And you're supposed to be, if you're the church, say, I am the church, to have, to give away. Right? Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Now, I had some other points. No one commented on last week's sermon, so I made up things that you might say. You might have said a point like this. God often uses ordinary men. Always consult God first. Boldness is not arrogance or obnoxious. Be warned, disciples, often has a cost. Always has a cost. It'll cost you your life. That's what baptism is all about. How about this one? Being united feels so good. And I didn't break into the song. Be united and it feels so good. Because I just sing it better than her. It's okay. But you feel so good when you're reunited. Right? When you're together doing a project and you're getting it done, you're like, man, we did it. You run a team that you weren't supposed to score. You know, I remember I wore my Mud Dog shirt yesterday and I was kind of pumped up. Alejandro's like, you got a Mud Dog shirt. I go, I do. And I start thinking about the Predator guys and the Miners that these guys could have been. Some of these guys, honestly, they're amazing athletes. And if God had chosen a direction for them, some of them could have gone really far, pro, like good. I watched them as little kids. You know, I was in. And it's amazing to me sometimes when you see someone that's called to do something and you see a team work together to accomplish a goal and you see them take down someone that said someone said they couldn't, you just want to stand up and shout, right? Like, yeah, we scored on them, right? So I feel like God's trying to get us to be that way in our life focus with each other, that unity of cheering for each other instead of rooting against each other. I know it sounds simple, but how often, right? We're going to talk about envy a little bit today, but he warned them. But this is the point I came up with. This is the one I think I took away from last week's sermon for me, Miss Blanche. You ready? Don't lie to or about God. Never lie to God. Never, ever lie to God. Don't lie to God. Don't do it. I mean, if you don't pick anything last week's lesson, just grab that one and go, that's a good life goal right there. You know, I'm not going to lie to God. Say, be authentic. Let's go to Acts 5:11. This is where we left off. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. What had happened? Keep this up for a little bit. Dr. Heidi, I'm going to probably go real slow through a lot of things. But what happened was a guy named Ananias died because he lied to God. And it was shocking. Then his wife came in. Doubled down on the lie, died. Ushers carried him out, buried him. So everyone's like, whoa. What'd you go to church yesterday? Yeah. What happened? Buried two dudes. Two dudes? No, a dude and his wife buried him. Why? What happened? They get like, you know, malaria or something? No. They lied to God. What? Okay, that's serious stuff. His church must be authentic, right? His church must be authentic. Anybody disagree with that statement? All right, then say, I am the church, right? It says, great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. I've been in circles in my life where the boldness to me came across as a misapplied knowledge and arrogance. I've heard people say, you know, I'm so afraid to get on the plane. Don't claim fear. Don't claim that. I get it sometimes. Hey, if you're trying to, you're just thinking about fear and you're claiming it, and you're staying on it, you're doing it, don't do that. But some things we should have a healthy fear of. Like there are things we should be afraid of. One of those major things is the creator of the universe. He is wonderful, but he is also the creator of the universe. And he put to death two people because we're being fake. That'll send some shockwaves through a community. Everyone else saw what happened. Some things we should fear. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly. The OG church had physical locations. I've heard so many people say, well, the original church, there was no people gathering together. Yeah, there was. Ever heard that? The original church, they just was bands of three traveling around. They got together regularly. It says physical locations. The contemporary church can relate to that. It's good to do that, right? Meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade, but no one else dared to join them. No one else dared to join them, even though the people had high regard for them. So this is like, wow, okay, it's scary. More and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've probably heard this word, revival. Ever heard the word revival? I hear it get used or seen banners made and proclaim revival a lot. And there's been some revivals that are absolute revivals. Some revivals are just meetings. We hear that word, and revival to me is 75% of that. Right there. More and more people believed. Why? Because the apostles were out there sharing what they had. And more people believed. Even though it was scary. Even though you got to give up your life. Yeah, give it up. Got to be a new creation. Uh-huh. Got to die to yourself. Yes. I got to admit I'm a sinner. Uh-huh. I got to let him bear that. Yes. But do that. And more people believed. And that's revival. At least I think 75% of it. I think maybe the other 25 is current Christians, people that have the title Christian. We recognize, we check it maybe on the form for our medication, our medical reviews, Christian. I believe part of that revival is the awakening of those folks to a new born again experience, to a hunger in their walk and serving for God like they've never had. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And revival sounds nice, doesn't it? What if it would be hard for me because my temperament doesn't like doing big crowds of people. But what if tomorrow, next Sunday, 5,000 people show up because Blake was like in the store, like, man, I can tell you what Jesus did. He was like, I want to go check that out, Danny's like, man, I had to go pray for this person. They got healed over there at McDonald's. And now they're coming to church and maybe after dinner. So there you go. Marisol, make extra, And before you know, the churches started growing, and I would call that revival. Why? Not because, wow, look at the numbers, but look what God's doing in your life. You're reviving people by his spirit because your life's being revived. That's revival, right? But be authentic, right? Share God with whomever. It says, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. So my conclusion at that scripture was, as a pastor, I go, oh, so you're saying show up at church regularly. They met regularly. I'm not saying that. You go away. I'm not even looking at you. Don't feel nervous. Show up consistently as his church, though. You show up at church regularly. Get in your people. Get someone praying for you. You have someone talking to you, hugging you. Give me a cup of coffee. You can share your burden. They can share theirs. Get to know their name. You can go to Marisol's for dinner. I don't know. Praise them. But beyond that, consistently show up as his church, wherever he puts you. I realize sometimes, I don't know about you, I have trigger words. Sometimes the word show up could be stress you out. Just show up. Maybe that's where you need the most help, showing up someplace. Maybe there are places in your life that you're killing it. Like, man, I'm getting it done. I am a ninja. Maybe there's some places in your life where you know it's time for you to really show up, where you haven't been showing up. And this is the season God's saying, just show up. Yield yourself to me and just show up. Anybody feel that going on in your life? there's places he's like, come on, I'm not beating you up. I'm saying, God, it's time to show up. Remember how you were afraid? Just show up. Just show up. It's time as church to show up. Say, I am his church. It's time to bring authentic Jesus to the people in our lives, right? And maybe you're a catalyst for revival. With you and the Holy Spirit, you could be reviving people. You know, their vibe can change. Just call it, if you don't like the word revival, just revive it. Man, we had a revival, you know, we just reviving over there. Yeah, we just revive. My whole spirit's revived, you know, with Jesus. My Holy Spirit helped me. Acts 5:15. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets in beds and mats, so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. You know what it doesn't say? It can be inferred for sure, but it doesn't say that when his shadow hit them, they were healed. But it says they laid out waiting and hoping that it would. There was hope in the air, and they had something. We know, honestly, ever have your hope anchored in some person, and it really let you down? Like someone that was really great in your life, and you anchored your life right there, and you were let down. Just me, man. All right, I got some more in the story. Right, you anchored and you just were let down. We realize even good people are not Jesus. Even born-again, spirit-filled apostles of God are not Jesus. You can't anchor yourself to people because eventually you will be let down. You know, it will happen. We know that though, when people need hope, his people should have it. So if you've been losing hope in your life, I'm asking you to seek God in those 15 minutes of him to fill you back up with hope. Let him show up in his whatever he wants to in your life. Let him don't assume he wants to talk about this because I know he does. Don't even assume that. Just show up in your 15 and go, whatever. I'm here for whatever. And it says crowds came from villages of Jerusalem bringing their sick and all the possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Now, that's a great place to stop for a second, but flash back to the followers of Jesus. They've been warned. What? Don't do that. They've been warned. Don't talk about Jesus anywhere you go. Not under a house, not with a mouse, not with a box, not with a fox. Here nor there. Don't talk to him anywhere. Right? They warned the religious leaders, the guys that don't pray about anything, said, don't do this. Right? And then Jesus himself warned them. Can you say this with me? I am the church. And I've been warned. I am the church, and I have been warned. Acts 5:17. The high priest and the officials, who were the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Jealousy, self-aggrandizing, envy, pride, those are all core values of Satan. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you want to look that up? They're all core values of Satan. Being jealous, envious, self-boasting and aggrandizing, being prideful, the core values of Satan. Envy is always, always, always in opposition of God. And that's tough because that hits us sometimes, doesn't it? You know, like, man, come on. Something that just hits you. But you can be hit for a second, but then if you stay chewing on that, that ain't fair. Envy's opposition to God. Acts of the Apostles 5:17 through 20. The high priest and his officials, who were the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in jail, in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. That's crazy cool. You know, like, that's a cool miracle. You don't have to think, like, well, that's cool. That's like you watch it on TV. Did you see that? Yeah, I saw it on The Chosen. The gate was open. It was cool, you know. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people the message of life. My pastor brain here was like, you freed them from your prison and then you send them to go back to church and give life to everybody. Hold on. You got some graves you stomped on that you don't live in life anymore. He freed you from your prison. He sent you back as the church to go share your life with somebody. The life, if you have Christ, life in you. He's freed you from the prison of what you were, and he wants to send you. He says, trust me, I let you out. Remember when you were let out of jail, free, forgiven, set free? Now I'm going to ask you to go back and share the life message with everybody. Why? Because I want the world revived. I'm reviving the place, you know? Reviving. Acts of the Apostles 5, 21 through 24. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told. Say, obedience matters. That's weak. I wish I had the Matambo. Nah. Obedience matters. Act like you're a parent. Say it like from a parent perspective, because then you get on food and yell, obedience matters. Dirt does. Right? But when it goes to, when we have to say it about ourselves, obedience matters. I kind of diet. I don't eat fast break bars every day. Diet. No fast breaks at all this month. Oh, obedience matters. There are things that he's like poking at us as his church. Why? Because he's mean? Because he's a fussy dad? No, he wants you to be so full of life, revived, and send you back into a world that you know how hurting they are. Imagine how hurting you are and you know him. Imagine how hurting they are that don't. And you have just little more than they have. And sometimes a little bit of water goes a long way. When I put a cap, one of these little caps all I had for that bird, just this big. And I set it out there and it was like right there and I'm eyeballing it. Like, you better chill, bird. And I'm pouring that water and it ran right over it and sucked up that little bit of water. That little bit of water mattered to that bird. You might just be a little bit of water in someone's life. It's time to be the revival. Go back out of your prisons. Go back out and be the church. It's time. At daybreak, they did what they were told and immediately began teaching. And the high priests and officials arrived and convened a high council, the full assembly of elders. You know, they're still making judgments without the mention of a drop of prayer. The leaders, the religious leaders making decisions without a drop of prayer. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. You know, when you see that word, you go, I wonder who the judges are going to be. Hey, let's bring them in for trial. Who are the judges? We are. Figured. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported the jail was securely locked with the guards standing outside. But when we opened the gates, no one was there. I bet that dude was scared to say that. Because these guys don't seem like the kind of nice guys. Like, oh, that's okay. It's oversight on your part. We don't believe it's a miracle, but it's going to tell him it's fine. We'll give him a bonus. I don't think they're the kind of guys. So they had to tell him no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priest heard this, they were perplexed. I try to say it like Kaylee so it would sound better. Perplexed. Like Africa. I couldn't do it. Perplexed is perplexed. Like, ever be in a situation like, I can't explain this? I've tried, but I feel like an idiot. I just can't. If you ask me anything math past 7th, 8th grade, I'm going to zone out on you. I'm going, How'd you get the answer? It was one of those four I guessed right. You know, I don't know. This is where they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Wondering where it would all end. I have a slide I want us to remember before I get into that. Your obedience matters. It matters. Why did they not question themselves and just think for a moment, what if we're wrong? If you have a problem in your life, don't be a Pharisee and a Sadducee where you never take a moment to think, what if I'm wrong? This crazy thing can't be God. What if you're wrong? Take a moment and think, what if you're wrong? And all these followers of Jesus are right. And then, I mean, the miracles are easily seen. It's not like, you know, that guy, that was Lazarus, he wasn't even a real guy. He was a puppet. No, he's a real guy. He's alive. And these miracles, they keep happening, even after Jesus is gone. It seems like, when I was a little kid, we had this famous saying, when you said something that was obvious, and this is what you would say to your friends, doy. Doy. Anybody have a doy? And they're getting like, doy. This is a doy, you know. People are being brought back to life. People are being healed. People are getting out of jail with angels. And you can't see it. Like, you're still so stuck. Why not at least ask God? Why are we so stubborn? Why are we so stubborn at protecting lies? I got a slide. Am I stubborn with the lies I protect? Versus, am I stubborn with a life I could have? Sometimes we protect things, lies in our life. Right? And we should really ask God, is that true? And if it is, what do I got to change? Why? Because I want the life that you've given me, not the lies I've been protecting. And there's a difference. We've all been through that process, right? There have to be that. Say, be authentic. Yeah, be authentic. Authentic freedom is found in Jesus. So also, the temple guard, the leading priest, they heard and they're perplexed. Where will it all end? It's a simple answer. Like, this is the answer for them. Where will it all end? The answer is it won't end. It's eternal. That was their problem. They're fighting eternal God. And sometimes when God shows up in our life, we fight an eternal God too. He wants us to do something. He's been directing our lives, and we're doing this, fighting it. You know, he's got the rope in our neck. We're doing, I got it, God. It's a good thing I'm doing. He's doing this. Why you hurt me so much? Dude, I'm trying to help you. How often have you had neck burns? God's trying to do one thing, and you're leaning the other way. Just me and Pastor Jody and Jordan. Yeah, pray for us. We need that. But sometimes the deeper question in our life is, why are we fighting the eternal thing God's been trying to press into our life forever? This is the season to grab a hold of that. You are the church. I feel like he wants to do things with you that's shocking you right now. I bet he's already brought people that you've not seen in a long time into your life, and they've been seeing your story, and you've been thinking about, how do I share Jesus with them authentically? And I know that's happening to some of you. And you're walking in places like Walmart, like, I should pray for that person. Should I? I don't know. It's never a bad idea to ask someone if they want prayer. They can say no. And I feel like he's stirring the church again to those kind of actions. Do you feel that? Like, I feel that from us. I see it everywhere I go. It's been beautiful. That's one of the things, as Derek was telling the story, it was such a beautiful thing to see what God is doing in his life. Such a beautiful thing to see what God's doing in the guy's life. It's just amazing. Acts 5:24. Then someone arrived with startling news. I'm glad that sometimes they say someone, because I know this is picking on me again, but when they were in Uganda, someone handed me a package to give to Dr. Heidi, and I had a conversation with them. I delivered the package, but when she asked me, who gave you this? I went, I don't know. You don't know. You have the package. You said they said to give me the package. Who was that? Someone. Someone from church. I was so focused on getting in the door and the message and trying to get with God, and I saw Ellie Mae was going to give me a tackle hug, so I was bracing. So I was doing my best, you know. Ever just do that? You go, just someone. But just because sometimes you feel like someone matters. It ain't never has to be written down in the book. It has to be written down in the book. So often you think your significance is small because you see the small part of your life, and someone matters. Talk to Jeff about that all the time. The little something matters. And so you don't know what you're delivering. You might just be the person to kind of warm the person up for the Jesus pitch in someone's life. You know, I just put a little sugar out there. You know, I just dropped a little sugar for someone else to come in. You don't know. Be a someone, right? It says, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles. You know, that's the second arrest for them. Third for some of them. I'd be like, man, these guys are felons. Peter and some guy named Paul are getting up with a record of multiple arrests. Like, man, yeah, men of God arrested. Dun, dun, dun. Page one. You know, happens sometimes. And I think Jesus said he warned them. Sometimes unfair things happen. He warned us. He warned us. And then the bad guys warned us. There's a warning. Right? The captain arrested him again without violence this time, because most arrests were done violently back then. No one went willingly. You know, there wasn't all the cameras. They thought they could get away. You know, there's violence involved. It says, but they're afraid to do that. They're afraid the people would stone them. You know why that's important? Yay for the apostles, right? Yay. But you know why that happened? Why that's important? Because popular opinion and what makes the Pharisees and Sadducees' life go around. They live by what people think about them, how they look. It's not how they are, it's how they look. Because the popular opinion, just whatever's popular, that's the vote. I'm not going to be the most popular. And when I have popularity, then I can make decisions. And that's how they live their life. So the crowd was like, no, these guys are awesome. Yeah, we're just going to arrest them real nicely. You know, I'm just going to talk to them. You know, we're taking to Starbucks on the way. It's going to be great. You know, popular opinion makes them feel secure. If God is second to popular opinion, it's no bueno. He will never be second to popular opinion. Never. No matter what the world says is appropriate or inappropriate, he will never be second to popular opinion. It doesn't matter. The whole world will go, the world is a cube. We've all voted. It doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. There's only one opinion that matters. Remember, he's a great God who does amazing things and changed our life and sacrificed his only son for us. And he loved us unconditionally and tracked us down in some of the worst graves imaginable. He's also the ruler of the universe, and he has a way, and he will be respected. His ways are above our ways. But we lose that sometimes, right? Ever notice, though, after you first get saved, remember when you truly, like, were born again? Remember that moment? It's flashback time, like you found Jesus. And he was all that mattered. Remember, just, whew, man. Recall how the people that were not believers came out of the woodwork with their opinions. Anybody? Anybody was like, wow. Most of my friends are like, what? What's the angle? Are you selling drugs? What's the problem? No, I found Jesus. Jesus, like, on the cross? Jesus? Yeah, like, Jesus is off the cross, dude. Yeah. Settle down, Kaposi. My friends were not happy. Were your friends super stoked about you finding Jesus? Like, I'm not going out on Friday night with Stinky anymore. Why? Because I don't want to be Stinky. I love you, though, dude, but I just can't be Stinky with you. You got me? A lot of those guys are like, yeah, awesome. I clap for you. Just go on and live a great life. Most of them are like, they call you names. They're your friend. Just happens. Happens all the time. Get pushed on from that kind of thing. No one likes to be afraid of the crowd. But sometimes you got to reply. You have to reply and be filled with him when we do. I've replied when I've been pushed and not reacted like Jesus at all. And it shamed me when I know I coulda, shoulda, and didn't. Anybody? Man, I wear those more than I wear badges of God used me to do this. I remember where I blew it, you know? I pray that we are filled with him when our time comes. That we're not panicked by a dove, right? We're responding. Yeah, jeez. Then they brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. Acts 5:28. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him. Great job, fellas. Well done. Well done, right? You have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you, here they're going to start blaming. Got to stop blaming others for stuff that we should repent from. At some point in time, Brownie, I'm looking at Brownie. He's okay with it, so I'll just look at you. Sometimes, because Brownie won't be mad at me at the end of the day. Sometimes, I've seen people blame other people for stuff they should repent from. I didn't hear one blame from some guy's testimony about his father as much as I heard him take responsibility about his response. I didn't feel blame. But I bet you there's been time in our life that we've blamed. If I would have grown up, but there comes a point when we grow up and we mature in Christ, we go, I got to take some responsibility. It's my time. Why? I got to show up now. Why? It's time. It's time to show up, you know. And they don't do that very well. He says this, and you want to make us responsible. You want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles, they replied. Say they replied. They replied. He says, we must obey. We must obey God rather than any human authority. And he stood right there in the face of it, the lion in their face. The guys that arrested him twice. The guys that had him flogged the last time, right? Those guys, and they said, nah, There's only one God person that we respect more than anything you do to us. And they stood and they replied. Say, I am the church now. Yeah, I am the church now. Acts 5:30. This is their reply. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead and you killed him. Boom. He just said, you're accusing us of this. He said, yeah, I am. Watch. You did it. You killed him by hanging him on a cross. You know why they get stressed a lot? We probably lose a little bit in translation and culture, but it was a disgusting way to die. It was one of the most humiliating ways to die because you would lose your bowel function. You would be naked in front of people. You would be beaten within an inch of your life. You were at the weakest point where you were willing to break. Your soul was about to break. And then you had to suffer asphyxiation on your own blood as you slowly drowned to death as people watched publicly. And he said, you not only killed him, you humiliated him. We love him. That doesn't sit well with us. You did it. Then he put him on the place of honor. God's what God did after you killed him. God put him in a place of honor at his right hand as prince and savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent. Like, I'm not here throwing stones and saying, shame, shame, shame. But I'm saying, if you own it and you repent from it, you can be free from it. You don't got to stay in prison. You don't got to stay there. He did it so the people would repent of their sins and be forgiven. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is given by God to those who obey him. See, there's a new catch to receiving the Holy Spirit. For those who obey him. Like, what do you want that for? Because you'll see people in the Word misuse the Holy Spirit. Say things of the Holy Spirit and they're not. That's fake. That's a lie. Be careful. Don't do that. That'll kill you. That's dangerous. He's looking for those who are going to have the courage to say to him, I want you and whatever you want, whatever. And I feel like he's doing such a deep work in the church and he's doing amazing things. I'm hearing such amazing stories of good things happening in your life and some of the hardest things people are going through. There's some people in this church that they're about this tall on the outside, but they're about this tall on the inside and you don't even know. You don't even know the amazing things God's doing in the midst of some of the hardest trials of their life. And we just come, we don't know each other's story. But I'm telling you, God is doing something so crazy awesome at this season. I want you to get that relationship with him and get what he has for you. Say, I am the church. I am the church. I am. Okay, the apostle said no, bro, basically. Obedience, not to you. We're not asking you. We're not doing what you said. It's not worth it. Acts 5:33. And when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. They brought him in all calm and peaceful, and then they decided to kill him. Guess the trial's over. I remember there didn't be a trial. We didn't even vote. They're just mad. Kill him. I mean, these guys talk about malice, right, Harold? Come on. Decided to kill them. But one member of the Pharisees named Gamaliel, G was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people. Gamaliel stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside of the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care. Take care what you're planning to do to these men. You better take care what you're planning to do to these men. They sent a warning, and now they're getting one back from some side inside their circle. Say, take care. It's not the kind of, like, take care, like when your kid's going off to college, take care, be safe, drive safely, make good choices. There's that kind of take care. This is more like, hey, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse kind of take care. Take care. I've been around a while. I'm the godfather of the Pharisees. I've seen a few things. Take care. That's kind of how I hear it anyways. Acts 5:36 or 38 says, take care. Some time ago, there was a fellow named Thaddeus who pretended to be somebody great. Say, be authentic. People can tell when you're not anyways. They can tell. He pretended to be someone great. About 400 people joined him, and he was killed. And his followers went their various ways. You can't build anything on just how great someone is at doing something. Like, if you want the world to change, it can't just be built on a person. And so often we do that in our church world, right? We do that in different world companies. And that's not how it's supposed to be. It's not going to work out very well. It's going to fall apart. It's not built on the right thing. The whole movement came to nothing. And after him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, and he was killed too, and his followers were scattered. So my advice is leave these men alone. And let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it's going to be overthrown. Say truth. It's going to fall apart, right? It's going to fall apart. Acts 5:39. Here's where he drops the bomb on them. Sets them up for this. I've been called in the principal's office before, and he started with nice things, but I knew it was going to end good. Hey, your locker's been clean. Uh-huh. What else you got to say, Mr. Spaulding? He says, but if it is from God, if what these guys are doing is from God, you never stop to ask God, the God we serve, right? The God of Israel, the God of the universe, the God that we profess every day, that we lead people, that God. We've never asked him one time about the situation. We just had a trial. We did a judgment from our own perspective of wisdom. But he says, but if this is from God, you'll not be able to overthrow them. And you may even find yourselves fighting against God. Whew. Say, I will be open to whatever God wants. Don't fight against him. It never works out well. He always wins. And I always get a stiff neck or a nod on my head over it. The times I was like, whoa, I followed him right away. It's been smoother. Not easier. I never said easier, but smoother. Because he warned us things are not going to always be easy. But you can have peace the smoother that passes understanding through that process, right? Didn't promise easy, you can do smoother. So they're listening to G, and they kind of listen to G. So Acts 5:40. The others accepted his advice. That sounds great. Like, wow, they listened to a reasonable wise man for once. That's great. They called the apostles and had them flogged. Doesn't sound like he left them alone. Leave them alone and let them go. Yeah, great advice. Go beat the crap out of those guys. Thanks, G. You know. They accepted his advice, and then they called the apostles and had them flogged. Flogged, and then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. That's a hard day. Right? That's a pretty hard day. I mean, they started off their day. Like, hey, how you doing? People are getting healed and church is being attitude, and then they're arrested. They spend overnight. Cool thing happens. Angel lets them out. That was a cool part of the day. I mean, I might want to bring that up first. If you ask me, how's your day? If Dr. Heidi goes, how's your day, honey? I would probably tend to lead with, I was flogged. Flogged. Yeah, they flogged me. And I'm sore. And I need some cocoa. But really, also, other things happened that day. But I concentrated probably on my flogging sometime, and I don't know what the angel did and what God was doing and how the lives were being changed. Sometimes we concentrate on the not easy. Right? Happens, right? So what's our tude? What is our tude when we get it right and we're wronged for it? Does that ever happen? You ever been right and again wronged for being right? Yeah. Actually, being the church is not easy sometimes. Obedience is the key. Actually, being the church isn't easy. So I want to see what their tude was like. Let's go to Acts 5:41. They just got flogged. They spent a night or half a night in jail. Flogging doesn't sound fun. I picture big, heavy wooden sticks. I don't know why. Rubber hoses made of thick grade rubber. I don't know. Flogging. I want to see how they responded. The apostles left, the high council rejoicing. I bet you that's not the first thing Peter says to his wife. I was flogged today. He left rejoicing. Man, that hit me. Did that ever hit you? man, God, you're doing good stuff. And I just remember the floggings. I just sacrificed you, Lord. I gave this up for you. I gave what's going on, Lord. No, come on. Come on. You're the church. I filled you for a purpose. And sometimes I warned you, it's not going to be an easy purpose. But if you'll be obedient, you're going to change the world and we'll have revival. And it started happening. And it's not a hokey banner we're going to hang over the church, and it's not trumpets, and it's not, we're going to have 17 meetings of revival. No, no, it's going to be you taking authentic Jesus into the lives that you have and giving away what you gave away yesterday and giving away what God's been doing in your life. And you watch other people that really need to hear authentic Jesus. Watch how it changes their life because you were brave. You were bold in the right way because you stood up and you showed up. Said, I am the church. The apostles left rejoicing. They had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, what they had a church meeting, and then they had many church meetings. House to house. I love house church. This started off as a house church because I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to just show up and do it at the house. And then we just got this poll, like how many people are going to show up. I go, we can't fit those people in our living room. What are we going to do? You got the wrong guy, God. My living room is too small. Guess I'm out of the picture. Dang, never find a rich dude with a big living room. He said, go down, drive to the dog track. I said, it's my dyslexia talking. It's the God track. I get it. And it started because we were a home church and we just got too big. So we had a little temple meeting. But I love home church and I love big church. I love authentic church. That's what I love. And every day in the temple from house to house, they continue to teach and preach their message that Jesus is the Messiah. I'm getting us out semi-early. I want to pray once again. This would be the what episode we in? 3, 4, 5. I'm trying to end every episode with this. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want more of God, I'm going to stretch my hand out as a proxy to agree with you for that. I ask everybody, if you close your eyes even, and then maybe that's you. Maybe you have the Holy Spirit in your life, but it's been a while since you've been refreshed. Or maybe you've just been so far away from God, you just need like 10 minutes of Him. Father, I pray that you'd give someone a cup full of your presence today that needs a drink. And I pray you fill those vessels that need filling and equip those vessels that need equipping, Father, and build within them, Lord God, a sanctuary of your presence that impacts the world. There would be revival in the world because of your church, the folks right here that want more of you. So authentically, Father, I ask you, baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of the living God. And the church said, amen.